Good morning. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A few words I'd like to open with, Galatians chapter 1. He writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I welcome each one here. I trust and I pray that we will all be blessed this morning, whether you're in your vehicles or listening online. May our desire be to obey the Lord and walk in his ways. I trust you've all had a good Christmas and a good New Year so far. I always love this time of year. Time where we normally gather with people and family and friends and go to different programs and that. And I know that due to all the restrictions, we've been very limited what we can do this year. But I want to encourage us to make the most of the opportunities that we have to fellowship and also to focus on what we can still do rather than what we can't. God's Word teaches us that we are to be thankful in all circumstances. And I know with God's help, it is possible. 2020 has come and gone with many trials and heartaches for many people, and many will want to forget. For myself, I want to focus on the opportunities that we get to tell others about Jesus. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Do you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind? And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Have you ever taken note of how many opportunities you get to tell others about Jesus Christ? How many times do you come up with an excuse not to witness to someone? Or how many times do you say, yes, Lord, I will witness to this person? I want to open up with 1 Peter 3:15. Now, before we go into my message here, I'd ask that you bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here, that we can gather. Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each one. Father, that our desire, our response would be obedience. Lord, I thank you for your great love. I thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each one and that we would be a light to those we come in contact with. May you guide us here this morning, Father, that we'd focus on you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, if you are a born-again believer, we are to have an inner reverence and commitment and love to Jesus Christ so that we are always ready to give an answer to anyone who asks of the reason of the hope that is in you. And then it says, with meekness and fear. Says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. Set him apart. That is my prayer, that as we look forward to a new year, that our desire be to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We should have such a relationship with Jesus Christ, so when someone asks us, why do you believe this or why do you believe that, that we should have an answer for them. It doesn't say that you're to only know in your heart what you believe, but also be able to tell others what you believe. I know some people are comfortable with the fact that, you know, they know what they believe in their heart and leave it at that, but our calling is to be a light to the world around us. As Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We should always be ready to share our faith when someone asks. and we should share it with joy. The Apostle Peter, he was admonishing believers to always be prepared to give an answer, especially when confronted by those who deny it or those who would like to destroy it. You know, when I read this verse, it puts incredible responsibility on me to study God's word and always be ready to give an answer. We are to know what we believe and why. I think of 2 Timothy 2:15, which says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Our hope and our anchor is Jesus Christ. Then in verse 15 it says, with meekness and fear. You know, our answer should not be with boasting and pride, but rather with in meekness and in fear. We shouldn't be ignorant in our answers, neither arrogant. I like what 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26 says. It says, a servant of the Lord must not strive or quarrel, but be gentle unto all men, able to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure or perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We are not to be quarrelsome in trying to win someone over or change their mind, but we are to contend for the faith in meekness and in fear. (Clears throat) 2020 has been a very different, challenging year for many, and even through all the hardships and trials, God's word has gone out more than ever before, and that is something we need to be very thankful for. Just think about what technology all allows us to do in this day and age that we're living. Having said all this, this leads me to my message entitled, Jesus Christ, the Name Above All Names. Jesus Christ, Greek, is Christos, or Anointed One. In Hebrew, it is Yeshua, short for Yehoshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did for mankind, what he did for you and for me? This morning, I want to look at many scripture verses so that you can see who Jesus is and that you will have answers to tell others when they ask you. Now, many people in the world today believe that there are many roads that lead to heaven. Many believe that if you do good works, you will get to heaven. Feelings and emotions tell people, as long as you are sincere about what you believe, you will get to heaven. But the truth is, the Bible knows nothing about this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. In the Greek language, a definite article, the, is in front of each, meaning there are no other ways. Jesus is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only light. In the world today, the lips of man praise Jesus and curse him. And I believe that Jesus Christ is spoken of today by both believers and non-believers more than ever before. And so many people use the name of Christ in vain. It is so disturbing, but I know that God will judge all men. As Jesus says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I don't need to worry about every individual. I am accountable for my own actions and words that I say, and I will receive according to what I have done, and so will each man. My duty is to pray for them, pray for the lost. Another Christmas has come and gone, but we don't just worship Jesus at Christmas. He is my Lord, my Savior, my life. For Christians, Christ is our life. I like how the Apostle Paul says it, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. This is how we should view life. Do you know who Jesus, our Messiah, is? I want to read you some verses that make it very clear. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Acts 4, verses 10 to 12. "Be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." And here it makes it so clear. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Romans 10, verses 8 to 11. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." These verses make it very clear who Jesus is. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'd like to share a few more verses with you. In all my opportunities to witness to others, I have received more opposition and been challenged more about who Jesus is than any other topic. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation means the unveiling. It is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Revelation is a very important book of the Bible. Revelation 1 verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel and his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." God will give a special blessing to those who read it, those who hear, and those who obey it. Revelation 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking here. Revelation 1, verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." His person is unmatched in Revelation. Jesus is eternal. He starts out in this verse, he says, "I am." "I am" means eternal. "I am" is written throughout Scripture. In the Gospel of John, seven times in the Gospel of John, you will find Jesus saying, "I am," each one emphasizing an important aspect of the personal ministry of Jesus. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine." "I am" means God has always existed. Another example was when Moses asked God what he was supposed to tell the Israelites when they asked who sent him. God tells Moses, "Say that I am has sent you," meaning the eternal God has sent Moses, Exodus 3, verse 14. God says, "I am that I am." God has no equal. If we go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, then Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega." Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. In Jesus, all revelation of truth exists. He is the source. He is the beginning. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus is the conclusion. All wisdom, knowledge, and truth are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says this statement, it immediately sets him apart from everyone else or anything that claims to be the way or anyone that claims that there are many ways that lead to heaven. There is no other revelation like him. Jesus is the beginning and the ending. And then he goes on to say, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. What a powerful statement that is. I'd like to look at a few more verses that tell us who Jesus Christ is. He is eternal. If any of you have ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, they will tell you that God created Jesus first, and then he created the world. But that is not true. Only God can create, and he did not create himself. Hebrews 1:1-3. Hebrews 1:1-3 makes it very clear. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now listen to this, by whom also he made the worlds. And then verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It says, by whom he made the worlds. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ came into the world that he created? And verse 3 here of Hebrews 1, verse 3, tells us that Jesus is the exact image of God. If you see Jesus, you see God. Jesus has all the attributes of the eternal God. Colossians 1, verse 16. Actually, I'll start at Colossians 1, verse 15. It says, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Makes it very clear, Jesus was there. Jesus created the world. For by him all things were created. And verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or all things hold together. More verses that tell us who Jesus is. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Speaking of Jesus, the Word was with God. In the Greek, literally facing God, and the Word was God. So many people say that Jesus was a good teacher and a good prophet, but deny that he is God. Many times in Jesus' earthly ministry, he told people who he was, and many didn't believe him. An example in John 14, when Jesus was speaking with Philip, Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you such a long time, and you have not known me? And Jesus says to him, if you see me, you see the Father. And also in John chapter 10, verse 31-34, I mean, you can read it all through Jesus' ministry, where people wanted to stone him. John chapter 10, verses 31-34. Jesus answered them, the Jews, and many others, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "Not for a good work we stone thee, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." And verse 39, "And therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, 'John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true.'" And notice verse 42, "And many believed on him there." And here again, the Jews, they wanted to stone Jesus, not for his good works, but because Jesus is God, and they wanted to stone him for blasphemy. John chapter 1, verse 14 also makes it clear. It says, "And the Word," speaking of Jesus, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. In the Greek language, it indicates a change of condition. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ was God in flesh. He came to earth as a baby. A few more verses I want to share with you. God the Father, the Almighty One, is one and manifests himself in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5, 7, it says, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." How is he three in one? This is what the Bible teaches, and we need to believe this fact. God never asks us to try and figure out, but rather believe what he says. And I find it interesting, in my opportunities to witness to others, when they'll say, "Well, God can't be all three." And you can show them these verses. Show them 1 John 5, verse 7. Also in the Bible, you will find God raised Jesus from the dead. You will find Jesus raised himself from the dead. And you will find the Holy Spirit raised God from the dead. And there are many other examples. It is consistent throughout Scripture. I know this is something that is difficult to explain to people. But it is there. It's in God's Word. And be careful, some people will try and tell you that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one in purpose. But truthfully, they are one in nature and purpose. You will find all the attributes of God given to Jesus Christ and also to the Holy Spirit. These three are one. This fact is a stumbling block to the Jew and to the Muslim. I understand that in Israel, on the Dome of the Rock, it says in Aramaic, "God does not have a son and God is not begotten." Jesus is begotten. He is God's son. He's the first one to die, to rise again, to never die again. Why is the devil so concerned about Jesus? Because in Jesus alone is salvation and no other. Turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. As I said earlier, many people believe that Jesus was a good prophet and a good person, but not that he is God. When you encounter a person like that, show them 1 Timothy 3:16. Makes it very clear. It says, God was manifest in the flesh. There are six important truths in this passage. Number one, God was manifest in the flesh. God came to earth as a baby in human flesh. It is the will of God that the church should understand this mystery. We should know the truth concerning our Savior. This mystery is the incarnation. Incarnate means flesh. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin named Mary. Jesus was completely sinless. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points as we are, and yet he was without sin. The virgin birth was a miracle wrought by the Holy Spirit, whereby the eternal Son of God took on human flesh. And that is, he took on human flesh in addition to his eternal divine nature. I like how Colossians 2:9 says it well. For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To deny his genuine humanity is the spirit of Antichrist. According to 1 John 4, 1-3, and these are some good verses to use if you want to really know what someone believes. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle John writes here, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. If you want to really know what someone believes, ask them what they believe about Jesus Christ. This is an excellent verse to use to determine if someone is a true believer in Christ or if they are a false teacher. You can tell by what they believe about who Jesus Christ is. The truth is that Jesus came into the world as a baby. He took on human flesh. He was born of a virgin. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give us abundant life. He came to destroy the works of the devil, to give us peace, to set an example that we can follow, and to give us eternal life. The second point in this verse, 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that he was justified in the Spirit. We can say that Jesus was justified by the Spirit in the sense that he was declared to be by the Holy Spirit what he always was, completely justified before the Father. Jesus was the righteous one conceived without sin. After his baptism in the Jordan, where he publicly dedicated himself as the one who had come to fulfill all righteousness, and to settle the sin question, God the Father opened the heavens above him. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father's voice was heard declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." There was no sin in Jesus. He was absolutely holy, and therefore he was the suited substitute to take the sinner's place and endure the judgment that our sins deserved. Third thing we see in this verse is he was seen by angels. The ministry of Jesus, both on earth and through the church, is of great interest to angels. Now, he's called elsewhere the image of the invisible God. But when Jesus was born, in Bethlehem, I understand in the Greek it says that the angels gawked. The angels could see Jesus Christ, their Creator. As angels hung over the crib and gazed upon the face of that little babe, they knew they were looking into the face of God who had created them. As he walked on earth, angels were beholding the wondrous works wrought by God manifest in the flesh. And there were many instances when Jesus was seen by angels, and especially at the resurrection. Hebrews 1:6, it says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him." Let all the angels of God worship him. The fourth thing we see here preached unto the Gentiles. Paul himself and his ministry team did their best to fulfill these commands. They were busy preaching Jesus among the Gentiles. And God's word is also being preached around the world today, that all may be saved who turn to him in faith. And the fifth thing we see here believed on in the world. We know that many, many people have accepted the gospel, trusting in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It is a free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Many people have accepted Christ and continue to do so. And the last thing we see here, received up into glory. Paul was bringing out one truth after another. Speaking of Jesus' ascension, his finished work on our behalf, and his present intercession for us. He who left the Father's house came down to earth, where he lived a sinless life. He who was holy and righteous went to the cross to die for our sins. He who was preached unto the Gentiles, who believed on in the world by many, he, the man Jesus Christ, has been received up into glory. Jesus ascended into heaven. And you know what he says about his ascension. It is to your advantage, Jesus says, that I go away. And he sent his Holy Spirit. When he comes again a second time to rule and to reign, all will recognize him. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I close this morning, who is Jesus to you? He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to take on the sins of the world. Father, we thank you that you came to destroy the works of the devil, that you came to give us an abundant life. Lord, you came to seek and to save the lost. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord, I pray, whoever's here and whoever's listening, Father, that that question would be settled in our hearts today. Who is Jesus to you? Father, I thank you that you are loving, you are compassionate. You don't want anyone to go lost, but that all would come to know you, that all would come to repentance. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each one, Father, you would soften hearts, that you would speak to the lost, Lord, that they would give their life to you. Father, we thank you for what you have done, what you are doing. Lord, we know the best is yet to come. Father, thank you for all that you are preparing for those that love you. And Lord, until you come again, Father, I pray that we would be a light for you. Father, at this time, I want to take time to pray for our elderly. So many in care homes and in hospitals, Father, or at home, Father. I just pray that you would be near to them. May you comfort them. And Lord, I just pray for the mental health of all people, Father. Lord, that we would not worry about everything. Lord, we know that it is all in your hands. And your word teaches that you will work the good out of everything to those that love you. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for those promises. And Lord, I just pray that you be with all the sick, that your healing hand be upon them, and Lord, if it is your will. And most importantly, Lord, that each one would have made things right with you. Father, we thank you for your great love, and we just thank you for going to the cross, for taking on the sin of the world. Thank you that you are a loving, a holy, a just God. In Jesus' name, amen. Your decision today about who Jesus Christ is will impact your destiny. Many people believe many things, what the Bible teaches, but if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, John 3:36 clearly spells out the destiny. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Friends, Jesus is loving and gracious and long-suffering to usward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Having said that, I want to close with these two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him might be saved. Choose Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. I want to thank each one of you for coming. It is so good to see your faces. Thank you to all who took part for those well-chosen songs. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give thee peace. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God's peace and protection go with each one. You're dismissed.